Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. Open your Bibles, please. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 29 to verse 45. Hopefully you have a Bible with you. It's always good to check it out, to follow through as we read the text. And so I'm reading verse 29. And immediately, when they were come out of the synagogue, the Beit HaKnesset, they entered into the house of Shimon and Andrew with Yaakov and Yohanan, James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and immediately they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many demons, and suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Shimon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out demons. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, "See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, inasmuch that Yeshua could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And I stop here for the reading for today. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 45 is the text for us for this ministry meeting. We are still in the earlier portion of the Gospel of Mark. In this gospel, we see how the Lord is being presented before us as the servant of Jehovah. He is the servant. He is the one that came from heaven in order to seek and to save them which were lost. But he presented here in the Gospel of Mark as a servant. If you remember in the previous message that we spoke about, up to verse 28, we have made a point to say and to share the fact that here is a servant that had power and authority even over the demonic activity. Remember in verse 28, we read, immediately his fame was spread abroad throughout all the regions round about the Galilee. Everyone that was in the synagogue saw what he had done, how this man that was occupied with an unclean spirit, how the unclean spirit have turned away from this man, have left this man, and how Yeshua the Messiah had an authority and power over the elements, over the people who were in the synagogue, including those that came to the synagogue and had been possessed by demons. Now we continue on today with verses 29 to verse 45, and I would like to present before us the fact that here we can see that the Lord Jesus is not only a servant that has power over all, he's also a servant that has compassion. You know, to have compassion is very important. In Hebrew we say rachamim. Rachamim and compassion is something that ought to characterize the people of God. Look around, look about us all over. You can see the many, many needs that exist today in this world in which we live in. People are suffering. People are having so much trouble in their lives. And here we see the Lord who has compassion. You know, he sympathizes with every one of us, with every trial we go through, with every problem we experience in our life, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, is a compassionate Savior, a compassionate servant. You notice, I'll read verse 41 for a moment. Notice what it said, and Yeshua moved with compassion. Yeshua moved with compassion. This is so beautiful to see, brothers and sisters. You and I might never be able to enter into someone else's feeling and experiences. You and I going through trials here in this world. Everyone that belongs to the Lord is still experiencing trials in this world. Many, many trials, many problems. We oftentimes cannot even sympathize because we can't identify with one challenge or another. But there is one by the name of Yeshua who sympathize and have compassion upon one and all. He knows what man is experiencing. He knows what you and I are experiencing today in our day-by-day life. He can enter in. That's why he suffered himself in his life. That's why he was tempted by Satan, as we have read earlier. He was tested in all point, yet sin apart. And he is the one that can sympathize with those of us that are experiencing challenges in our life. And so let's move along here in this passage. You notice, first of all, that in his sympathizing attitude, Yeshua is going about preaching the message of the gospel of the kingdom, telling our people of old Israel, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, the king is in your midst, appearing as a servant. But while he does so, he's not blind to the needs that existed in those days. You notice what we read in verse 29, 30, and 31? He left the synagogue. Notice that it says here in verse 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the Beit HaKnesset, the synagogue, they enter into the house of Shimon and Andrew with James and John. I just want to pause here for a moment. We who just came from Israel a few weeks ago, we're actually in Kfar Nahum. This is the village of Nahum, Kapar Nahum, or in Hebrew, Kfar Nahum. And the synagogue that existing today was built upon the synagogue that Yeshua the Messiah was actually there some 2,000 years ago. This synagogue is very near to the house of Shimon Petros. We don't have the name Peter mentioned here, but his Hebrew name, Shimon, Simon, is mentioned. Notice that forthwith they were come out of the synagogue, They came out of Beit HaKnesset and they enter into the house of Shimon and Andrew. That house was very close by. Just that you will imagine in your mind, in those days, the community, the Jewish communities were surrounding the synagogue. The synagogue, Beit HaKnesset, was in the center, and around Beit HaKnesset, the people lived in one village or one town or one city. The center was the Beit HaKnesset, where worship to God had been, where praises to God had been, where the scripture had been read every Shabbat day continuously. So what happened here, if you remember, in the earlier passage, in verse 21, they went to Kfar Nahum, and on a Shabbat day, he entered into the synagogue. But the meeting has been over, and now he left the synagogue, and he went into the house of Shimon and Andrew. And what a privilege it was for Shimon to host the Messiah himself. Can you just imagine what a privilege is to allow the Lord to come into our own home, and to let him be there as in charge of our own home. It's so beautiful to think about this, because throughout history, God wanted the people of Israel that he will be the center of their lives. And just the same like today, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, want to be the center of our lives. He doesn't want us only to come to meeting and to leave him at the meeting and go home and say to him, don't come into my own home. He doesn't want us to be religious without reality. He doesn't want us to merely have a system and setting him outside. No, he wants to be the center of our personal life. He wants to be the center of our home life. And he wants to be the center of our assembly life. He is the object. Yesterday we talked about the verse in Matthew 18 verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord want to be the center. So what do you think? He want to come to the synagogue or come to the meeting hall? And everybody going to be around him doing the meeting hall? And when the time is over and the meeting is over, we'll say, shalom, shalom, I don't want to see you anymore. Going to go to our home and carry on our life without him as the object and the center? No. He want to be the object. And imagine what a privilege it was for Shimon and Andrew to host the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. You remember when we read in Luke 19, when Zacchaeus, when Yeshua passed by him and he was on a tree, and he wanted to see Yeshua, and Yeshua called him, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in your house. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree, and he walked the Lord, and he brought him to his own home. He hosted him. Why? Because the Lord wants to be the center of his own people. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. And can you imagine what a privilege it was for Simon, and for Andrew to bring the Lord to their own home? And there in their own home, they wanted to spread a meal before him. And they wanted to serve him, to minister to him. What a privilege it was here. And so we learn here that Yeshua have gone to the home of Shimon and Andrew. Not only that they hosted him, they also hosted Yaakov, James, and John Yohanan. Hospitality, Middle Eastern hospitality in those days was so important. Again, forgive me, it was Father Abraham many years ago in Genesis chapter 18, was sitting in the heat of the day there by the outside of the tent. And lo and behold, he looked afar, and what does he see? Three men coming. And he didn't wait for them. He ran to them, and he told them, Lord, he understood that these men were out of ordinary individuals. And he brought them into his own home, his own tent. And he washed their feet. And he served them. He made a meal. And he said to them to watch how they enjoyed the meal. And who were these? You might say this was none else but the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Messiah, and the two angels that came along with him. I mean, beloved brothers and sisters, what a privilege it is for us to have the Lord with us. Not only in our meetings, not only in our individual life, but also to come into our home and to enjoy the presence of the Lord, because none like Him. He cares for us. He knows the many need that we have in our life. And so we see here, after they brought Him into the home, apparently they have a challenge there in their own home. We read in verse 30 and 31 that Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and immediately they told him. Now, it's insignificant. The mother-in-law of Shimon was sick. She had a headache. She had a fever. And they immediately shared this with him. And why did they share with him? It may be very well that they wanted him to heal her, to give her back her normal feeling so she will feel better and so she could continue to serve. And so immediately they told him. And by the way, we learn from this that Shimon apparently was married. He had a mother-in-law, and he was married. And you see, that it teaches us that in the ministry, remember earlier it says, follow me and I will make you fisher of men, that a person, that even if he is in ministry, what a blessing to have a wife to join him in a ministry. What a blessing it is to work as a husband and wife together. We don't read much about Peter's wife in biblical account, but nevertheless, he was married later on, you know, he became the one that was, you might say, opened the door to the Samaritans and then to the Gentiles, and the gospel was preached. The Lord used him to preach the gospel in many, many places, and he became such a blessing. While we don't read about his wife, we do read in this context of Mark chapter 1 that his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was laying sick of fever. Everybody immediately told him, perhaps Shimon and perhaps Andrew and maybe Yohanan and maybe Yaakov, James, John. They said to him, you know, Peter's mother-in-law is not well. And so the Lord immediately, notice that how beautiful in verse 31, he came, he took her by the hand, he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. He healed her from her fever. Now, we might say, well, this is not necessary, Lord. Why have you done so? Well, the Lord at times allow us to be with fever and have all sort of things that are encumbering us. But at times, He chooses to heal one immediately. And then, you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, I think it is wonderful to read that she ministered unto them. She served them. You could see that the mother-in-law of Shimon understood who he was and who they are, and she probably just came along, or maybe she heard as they came along from the Beit HaKnesset that what happened there in the synagogue, it's not far, it's next door, and immediately she ministered, she served them. If you just turn with me to Matthew 27 and verse 55, it says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Yeshua from the Galil, they ministered unto him. It is so interesting how many a women, godly women, served the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in one way or another. And we know very well from our experience, we are thankful to the Lord for our dear sisters who are laboring behind the scene and serving us, you might say. And we benefit from that. We thank God for that. We also thank God for the brothers who do so. But it's so beautiful to see, to minister to Him. And my challenge to you is, what do we do for the Lord? Do we serve the Lord? Do we take the time to do something for Yeshua the Messiah? It could be in so many ways, whether it is locally here in our meeting hall, in the things behind the scene, or whether it is on our work or at the school or at home, are we serving the Lord? Here's this woman who is the mother-in-law of Shimon. She served the apostles, you might say, or the disciples, but she also served the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in her very own home.
She got up from being sick. Immediately her fever left her. And the first thing she does, she served him. You know, over the years, the Lord had blessed me. Not only with my dear wife, Irene, who have been such a servant in many ways, but with many around that have served the Lord in one capacity or another. What a blessing. I could have not do what I do today without those that serve the Lord behind the scene. We can all say we could not do with the way, the privileges that we have, without those that serve the Lord behind the scene. And the Lord honor them. The Lord will reward them. The Lord will bless them for that. Anything, any service that is done for the Messiah will last for time and for eternity. So I'm encouraging us all, let us use some of our time and our energy to serve the Lord. You will never be able to enjoy a relationship with the Lord unless you take part of serving the Lord, because that's the way that the Lord have set this in the life of God's people. Well, not only now that he healed Shimon's mother-in-law in the house of Shimon, after the meeting in the synagogue on a Shabbat day, he came out, he went to the house for perhaps Shabbat meal at the end of the synagogue, the Bet HaKnesset, the meeting. He there enjoyed the time at Simon and Andrew's home. But now in the next verses, verses 32, 33, and 34, look what we read, that once everybody heard of who was there in their midst, he healed many others. They brought to him as many people as they could in order for him to heal them. And so we read in verse 32 and 33, notice after the Shabbat day, and I want to emphasize here, and at even when the sun did set. Now let me just pause here for a moment. You remember that the Shabbat or the Hebrew days do not begin at 12:01 after midnight. No, the Hebrew calendar, the biblical Hebrew calendar, is when the sun is down, a new day begins. Some stars appear and the new day begins. And that's why when the Shabbat goes out and then the first day of the week begins after sundown, here we find out that when the Shabbat day was over, you might say the Shabbat meeting was over at the synagogue, then at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demon, and all of the city were gathered together at the door. So now you can see they're coming to the house of Shimon, where he was. Apparently, the whole evening he was there. Then they brought everyone to him after the Shabbat have ended. Actually, it is the first day of the week, beginning after sundown. They brought everyone. And you notice an interesting thing in verse 32, that the Bible make a distinction between all that were diseased, there are natural sicknesses that we all have. And then them, notice verse 32b, them that were possessed with demons. He kind of almost distinguished them. You know, Satan is attacking mankind. Satan desired unbelievers to be possessed with demonic activity. But the Bible distinguish between natural, you might say, experiences that we have by getting sick and getting a cough and getting a back pain and getting, you might say, as it says earlier, having a fever and so on. It distinguish between the normal routine of sicknesses that come into our lives and demonic activity. Demonic activity is strictly satanic. Demonic activity is strictly sent by Satan himself. But natural health situation come to us every day. If I'll ask all of you today, what your problem? You say, my back is hurting me. Another one will say, my neck has some problem. Another one will say, I'm weak and I'm tired. And another one will say, oh, I have this, and my eyes, I don't see good anymore. And I was just at a doctor yesterday, and I visited this one and that one. This is the natural sicknesses that we have. Why do we have natural sicknesses? Because the Bible shows us that because of sin that entered into this world from Genesis 3 in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, all of us have inherited a sin nature, and all of us are part and parcel of creation that is groaning constantly. There are constantly people who are born and people die. People get all sort of issues in their life. This is part of life. None of us can stop that. At time the Lord will come and he will heal us from some disease that we have, but it's never permanently, because we're going to get older and eventually we're going to decay and we're going to die and we're going to end up to be ushered to the presence of the Lord. So we have to realize that. We have to understand it, that sicknesses and diseases and all sort of things are part of this falling world in which we live in. And therefore, the Lord at time will choose to heal one, and other time he chooses not. Like Shaul Paul, who had a thorn in his side, and he beseeched the Lord in heaven. He says, Lord, I want you to take, to remove this from me. But the Lord said to him, according to the book of 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul understood that through weakness, he is able to have the strength that is come from God. So it says, everyone would come to him, all that were diseased, them that were possessed with demon. And notice it says in verse 33, all the city gathered together at the door. And you can just imagine, everybody's waiting in line to come in order for the Lord Yeshua the Messiah to, on the one hand, to heal them from their sicknesses, on the other hand, to remove the demonic activity from their life. And so we read in verse 34 that he healed many. Notice, he doesn't say all. He healed many. And then he says that were sick and of diverse diseases. And notice also in verse 34b, he cast out many demons. Not everyone's demon possessed was cast out, but many that were there. And he healed many, and he took out demonic activity, and he suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Apparently, beloved brothers and sisters, just like it was in the synagogue earlier, on that Shabbat day, where that demon-possessed man, the demon spoke, he says about the Lord, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And Yeshua rebuked him and he asked him not to speak. Here we see again that the demons knew him. They knew very well that he was the Messiah of Israel. They knew that he was indeed the eternal Son of God, because he created those fallen spirits, those fallen angels. He created them, and they knew very well who he was. And you notice that he told them not to speak. Why he told them not to speak? He didn't do it in pride, the healing and the removing of demonic spirits. He did what he did in order to meet the need of the people in the area of Galilee and in Kfar Nahum and all the area in Galilee, because they were possessed with demons. There were sicknesses. There were all kind of things that they have experienced there in the north of Israel. So he very well, they knew him very well, and he didn't want them to speak. How different it is that in the days in which we live in, some healer come to town, and he got to put on the television that he's coming to town, that everybody will know, and that everybody will come to his meeting somewhere, and that everybody will experience, and they publicize that, while Yeshua is exactly the opposite. Don't speak. Don't speak loud. I don't want you to speak about me at all. He knew what he was doing, because he knew the heart condition of the people in those days. And that teaches us another thing, brothers and sisters. Whatever the Lord allow us to do in our lives, we should do it as unto him, and not in order to publicize it, that everybody will be occupied with the servant rather than with the Lord himself. We are to do things as unto the Lord, and unfortunately we need the Lord's help in doing so, because our human heart is so proud by nature. Well, verses 29 to 31, the healing of
Shimon's mother-in-law. Verses 32 to 34, the healing of many who were sick and the casting out demons for many who were possessed with demons. I just want to mention thing, and I did it before, but I want to say it again. No believer in Yeshua the Messiah can be possessed with a demon. A believer in Yeshua the Messiah is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And there is no room in the life of the believer who have the Spirit of God. There's no room for all this demonic activity there. A believer may be attacked by demons, but a believer can never be possessed by any demon because the person of the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling the believers. Well, we move along. In verses 35 to 39, notice the lessons that we learn about Yeshua's desire to preach the gospel, but it flows out of the time that he spent in prayer with the Lord. Notice that, what it says in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Now notice the beautiful lesson that we learn. You see, though Yeshua was the eternal Son of God, though he was equal with the Father, yet he entered humanity and he became a man, and as a man he became a servant. And as a servant, he's obedient to the call of God upon his life, and in order for him to be able to serve God aright, he needed to take some time and pray. And you can notice that. In the morning, rising up great while before day. He was an early riser. He rose up early in the morning, and what does he do? He leaves the disciples. He leaves the company, or the group, you might say, there for a while. He go to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He spoke to God the Father. He shared with him, you might say, as a man, his exercise. Share with him everything that he was going to do. He prayed. He spent some time with God the Father. And how wonderful to see that. Early in the morning, rising up, great while before it was day. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 50, and you can see how the prophet Isaiah already predicted that when he spoke about the servant of the Lord. Isaiah in chapter 50 predicted the Messiah Yeshua as a servant, that he will be doing exactly that which we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Listen to these words in Isaiah 50 and verses 4 and 5. He says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turn away back." You know, Isaiah was prophesying 700 years before the Messiah came. He was prophesying about the servant of the Lord. And one of the voices of the servant of the Lord is mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, that the Lord God had given me, this is the Messiah Yeshua, he's given me the tongue of the learned. I became a learner, a student, a servant. And why did I learn? So I will know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, brothers and sisters, it's so precious to see that the Lord knew how to speak to everyone. He knew what to say to this individual, how to say it, when to say it. He was very gracious and loving in the way he conducted himself. But where did he learn it? Well, notice what the Bible tells us, what Isaiah says. "Morning by morning he wakeneth mine ear to hear as they learned." In Hebrew, the word here coming from the word Talmid. Every morning,
Every morning God is waking me up early, and I was listening to what he has to say to me, in order that I will continue on the day in ministering to the people around me, so I will know what to say to them, to those that are weary, to them that are in trouble, to them that have a need. Every morning, every morning. Years ago, there was a dear brother that was consistently, he was such an example. He was getting up every morning at about 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he began the day by speaking to the Lord. He opened the Bible, he read the scripture, and then he was praying and speaking to God, speaking to the Lord Yeshua. What an example it is. We will never be able how to speak to others unless, first of all, we hear what the Lord has to tell us. We cannot just simply not take the time with the Lord and then all of a sudden become people who are blessing to others. It just doesn't work like that. Morning by morning. In Hebrew it says, Baboker, Baboker, Ya'ir li. He wakes me up and he opened my ears so I can listen. I will have to listen to what he has to say to me. And how wonderful we can see it practiced. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, Yeshua himself rising up a great while before the day. And he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, the importance of prayer. Prayer is essential for the life of the believer. It's like the energy that we get in order to be able to walk another day with the Lord. If you turn to Mark chapter 6 with me, and verse 46, we find out, when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. If you turn to Mark chapter 9 for a moment, verse 28, and when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately why we could not cast him out. In other words, this one was had a demon possessed. They couldn't cast him out. And so Yeshua said to them, this kind, verse 29, can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Prayer is essential. The believers are exhorted to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the shortest verses in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadasha, Shaul Paul said to the brethren, pray without ceasing. It is essential to pray. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, continuing in prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle says that we are to pray with all supplication for all the saints of God. Prayer, it is important. It is essential for the people of God. And so Yeshua, by example, he took the time and he rise up early before even the day begin. And he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. I can give you many verses in the Brit Hadasha, as well as the Old Testament, the Tanakh, how many times we are exhorted to pray and to spend our time in prayer before the Lord. But he set up an example for us. And so we see here, morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear. What a servant he have been, listening to the voice of God and then ministering to the people of God. And so the next verses, verses 36 and 37, Simon and the disciples were looking for him. They wanted to know where he was. And so we read Simon, Shimon, and they that were with him, and they followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Everybody is looking for you. Now, mind you, why were they looking for him? Well, let me tell you, if you are sick with something and you have problems, well, you want a healing, right? So everybody followed after Yeshua the Messiah as long that he could be their healer. It's almost like a magic, you know. Oh, here's the healer coming. Here's the healer coming. But the problem, beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord did not come to this earth to improve our bodily condition. He came to this world in order to save us, in order to give us eternal life, in order to forgive our sins. And so you notice, while everybody was looking for him, in actuality, they didn't necessarily, I'm not saying all, but the vast majority did not necessarily look for him because they wanted him as their Lord, Mashiach, the one who came to establish the kingdom, the one who was sent from heaven in order to become the King of Israel and Lord of the nation. But they were looking because they wanted to be healed. They wanted to be healed. You notice that we oftentimes are occupied with our bodily's improvement. We want to get better. We want to look better. We want to be stronger. We want to have never to have any sicknesses or any diseases. That's the way we are by nature. But the Lord did not come in order for us to have a fixed body all the time. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that's why when Peter and the others were searching for him, according to verse 36 and 37, they said to him, "All are looking for you, all men seek you." But he knew that very well, that they were not necessarily seeking for him for spiritual life, but many were seeking for him in order to be taken care of, to be improved with their body's appearance and health situation to be fixed, but not really to turn their hearts to him and to repent of their sins and to accept him as the Messiah. And why I'm saying it is because if you just turn with me to the Gospel of John, to chapter 2, there it's very clearly defined. In John chapter 2 and verse 23, 24, and 25, it presented before us very clearly. Because we find out when he was in Jerusalem, this is another occasion. Now he's in Kfar Nahum, he's in Galilee. In John 2, he's in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. Notice that it says here in verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believe on his name." Notice that. When they saw, what did they see? They saw the miracles which he did. "Oh, I believe in Yeshua. I believe in Yeshua. He's a miracle worker." But then notice that immediately it says in verse 24, "But Yeshua," Jesus, "he did not commit himself unto them." Why he did not commit himself unto them? It says in verse 24, because he knew all men. And verse 25, it says, "And he needed not that any should testify of men, for he knew what was in men." You see what happened, beloved brothers and sisters? People wanted Yeshua because he was a miracle worker. Isn't it wonderful? He's going to create miracles. He's going to fix all my problems. He's going to set everything great for me. Never mind. I don't need to repent and to confess my sins and to realize that I'm a sinner and I need a savior. But I need a miracle worker. Well, he didn't come for the purpose of improving bodies. These bodies are inherited a sin nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These bodies are only going to be eventually decayed and going to the grave. But the problem, beloved brothers and sisters, the greatest sickness that man has, it's not the sickness of the body, it's the sickness of the soul, the sickness of pride, the sickness of selfishness, the sickness of evil doing, the sickness of lust and covetousness. That's what we have. That's our problem. And the reason that Yeshua came is not to improve our external body, though we would love to have that. But he came to fix a greater problem that we have. And the greater problem is that we all have inherited the Adamic nature. And that's the reason that he came. Yeshua did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew very well that they didn't come to him in order to repent and say, "Oh, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord." But they came to say, "Oh, please, miracle worker, fix this for me. Make this better for me." And the reason that we need the Lord is not only for to fix our bodies, though we would love to have it, but we need the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who came from heaven in order to become the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. And so back to Mark chapter 1, you notice what happened. When Peter came to him, when Shimon and the others came to him in verse 36 and verse 37, and say to him, all men seek you. Notice what Yeshua answered. You would say, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to go fix everybody, all these people that are seeking for me. I'm going to go help them right now and make them healed. You would say, look, he just healed Shimon's mother. He just took many who came to him earlier. He took away their demons. He just did it. But notice what we read in the next verses, verse 38 and 39. We read, and he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore come I forth. Oh, many came to seek for me. All men is looking for you, Yeshua. Okay, I know. I know. But the time to move along to another town. The time to move along. They came not for the reason that they wanted to come to him, to recognize him as the Mashiach who came to seek and to save them. But he mentioned here, let us go into another town. Notice that he says in verse 38, that I might preach there also. What he was preaching. We just read it in verse 14 and verse 15 of Mark chapter 1. The gospel of the kingdom of God he was preaching. And he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The word gospel in Hebrew is besorah. And what is the gospel? It's the good news that the Messiah came from heaven. He eventually going to die and going to pay for the price of sin with his precious blood. And he will establish a kingdom which he intended to establish. And so the gospel, believe the gospel, repent. Repent, beloved brothers and sisters. Today we have the responsibility to preach the message of the gospel, not to preach a message of body improvement, but to present the sincere milk of the word that is speaking about the Messiah who died for our sin in order to save us from the judgment that we deserve. For the Son of God came to seek and to save them that was lost. I came not from heaven to do my own will, he said in John chapter 4, but to do the will of him that have sent me. And God sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. And so we continue on. And in the next verses, verses 40 and 45, from there to the end of this chapter, he's now dealing with a man that was a leper, a man that needed to be delivered from leprosy. The Hebrew word for a leper or leprosy is tzara'at. And tzara'at in the Bible, in the Hebrew scripture, is one of the most vivid scripture or vivid sickness or disease that resembles sin. Tzara'at, or you might say a person that is a leper, is a person that represented the condition of all humanity. And so we find out, notice in verse 40, first of all, the daring approaching of the leper to Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua was preaching in Galilee. In verse 39, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out demons as he was there in all the regions of Galilee. Then what happened in verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and he said unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, I just want to pause for a moment with the thought of being a leper. If you go back to Leviticus with me, please. Leviticus chapter 13. Those of us that know very well that in the book of Leviticus chapter 13, we have the lesson about leprosy. Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, God gave instruction to our people of old Israel with respect to leprosy. I'll just read a couple of verses there just to have the text before us. Verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moshe and to Aaron, and he said, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons' priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of his flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is in sight be deeper, then the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. You notice, I just wanted you to see the way it looks like. And in the biblical days, apparently many in those days, when Israel came out of Egypt, many have been attacked, you might say, with leprosy. And leprosy is not only the outside of the body, but as we read here, it is something that is deeper inside the person. And that's why it's like there's numbness in the body, and there's no feeling anymore when a person is using his hands or his body. There's no feeling. And you can just look at the result of an internal condition that brings about the type and a picture of the sin that comes from within. That's why in the Bible, many times when you read about leprosy, it's always being compared to the internal condition of the human race. We have an internal problem, just like a leper had an internal problem. And God made a provision for that. But if you notice, in the same passage, I just wanted to read one more verse in Leviticus chapter 13. When a person was declared to be a leper, he could no longer be in the midst of the nation of Israel. You see what it says in verse 45 of Leviticus chapter 13? And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head will be bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. Tameh in Hebrew. In other words, a leper would have to be shaving his head. He will have to put a different clothes on. He will have to put his hand like over top of the upper lip. And he will cry, unclean, unclean. He could never be in the midst of the people of Israel. According to verse 46 of Leviticus chapter 13, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean. And then it says in verse 46b, he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall be his habitation. In other words, he could never join to be with the people of Israel. He always was without the camp. That is the condition of a person who is a leper. So it became known in the Bible or in Scripture as a picture of sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, God said to Israel, your iniquity is separating between you and your God. Leprosy is a picture of sin. It separates man from God and God from man. Man is outside the camp. He covers his mouth if someone gets closer to him, and he says, don't come near. I'm unclean. And yet, we find out in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40 that there's a man that is a leper who came near to Yeshua. And then we read, he did three or four things we find out. Number one, he came. And that's so beautiful to see. Number two, he beseeched Yeshua. Number three, he fell on his knees. This is verse 40, recognizing who Yeshua is. And number four, he asked him. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. And by this we can learn that this man realized that Yeshua was more than just an ordinary man. He came near,
He fell on his face. He beseeched the Lord. And eventually he asked him, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. If you will. You know, this expression, you know, the word if you will. Sometimes people say, well, you should never ask God if you will. You can never tell God, oh, if you will. No, no, no. You can tell him, I demand that you will do this for me. Well, what if the Lord doesn't will for you to have that job? Or what if the Lord doesn't will for you to be perfect in your health situation? He didn't want this for the Apostle Paul. He said, my strength has come from weakness. He beseeched him, Lord, take away from me this thorn in the side. He says, no. I'll allow you to experience this in your life. And by allowing this to experience in your life, it will humble you so that you can serve me better. Paul knew very well the possibility to be proud in order to say, oh, listen, I've received so much from God, so I can be very proud. And the Lord had to teach him that my strength is made perfect through weakness. And here the Lord, we find out that the Lord had mercy on this leper individual. Do you remember, and I just want to make one more connection. You remember when Miriam, the sister of Moshe, when she came to Moshe and Aaron, her brother, and said to him, who made you a ruler over us? God use us as well. And you remember what God did to Miriam? He struck her with leprosy. And for 7 days, she had to be outside of the camp for 7 days. You remember Naaman, the leader of the Assyrian army? That he himself was a leper, and the little girl said to him, there is a prophet in Israel, in Samaria, who can heal you from this leprosy. And he came to the Jordan River, and the prophet of Israel instructed him, and he said to him, you go down into the Jordan River 7 times. And after 7 times, he became clean. He obeyed the word of the Lord. The Lord had to humble him from his pride, from his sinful pride. And he told him to be in the Jordan River for 7 times. After that, he healed him. And he said, there is a God in Israel. Amazing to think about the many that we read in Scripture, how God has healed them from their sicknesses. But there is sin in mankind, and men need to repent. Men need to come. Men need to beseech the Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then to kneel down before him and to say, if you will, Lord, you will make me clean. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. And the Lord is desiring for us all to be saved. So quickly, verse 41 and verse 42, Yeshua, compassion. He healed this individual. We read, Jesus, Yeshua, moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and he touched him. And he says unto him, I will be thou clean. Now how can he touch him? We read in Leviticus 13 that we have to stay away from a leper. How can you touch him? If you touch him, you'll get leprosy. But don't forget, beloved brothers and sisters, this man, this servant, Yeshua, he was more than just an ordinary man. He was the Son of God, the Messiah, who came as a man. He was the holy, the righteous, the undefiled. That's why he can touch him. And instead of the sick one to make him sick, he can heal him and deliver him from that oppression that he was under. I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, verse 42 of Mark chapter 1, immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he was cleansed. Notice, it doesn't say that he was healed, but it said that he was cleansed. He was defiled. Leprosy is a symbol of sin. Sin defiles us. But the Lord healed him. And how wonderful to see that as we read here in this Mark chapter 1. Now to conclude for today, in the last two verses for today, Mark chapter 1, verses 43, 44, and 45, straightly he charged him, and forthwith he sent him away, and he said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show yourself unto the priest,
offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto him. He said to him, listen, don't tell anyone. Just obey the word of the Lord. Go to the priest. You show him your situation and go and do what he asks you to do for your cleansing. And then, as Moses commanded for a testimony unto those priests of Israel, that the testimony will be that the Messiah was in their midst. Go and tell them what happened and do exactly what they tell you. But don't speak to anyone. Spread it. Don't speak to anyone about this. Simply say nothing and just do what I'm telling you. Now you would think this man going to say, okay, I will not do it. I keep it secret, Lord. I'm going to go to the priest and there I'm going to tell them what happened and then I'm going to obey what Moshe said in the law and that's all. And you find out that this man was not an obedient man at all because he went out and he began to publish everything. He published so much. In other words, he went and said, hey, you know, what happened to me? Now, I don't know if I would have been a leper and all of a sudden I'm cleansed. Can you imagine the change of life? I'm no longer an outcast. My hands and my feet and my body that was diseased, I now can function. And I will praise God and I will go and tell everyone about it. Now you think the Lord did not know that this man will go and tell everyone? He knew it very well. So he told him, listen, don't say anything. But the guy, this man, this one that was leper, went out and he began to publicize everything. And to blaze abroad the matter, he told everyone. Now, it's exactly what happened to us when we became believers. We were lepers by nature. We couldn't stand before God. We were at a distance. All of us by nature can say, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. But the Lord loved us, didn't he? He was so gracious towards us that he opened our hearts and he says, listen, Gideon, and I can put your name there. I want to wash your sins away. I want to cleanse you. I want to make you free from the judgment that you deserve to receive because of your sin and sins. I lay down my life for you. I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to give myself for you and I. And so we came to him. We repented of our sins. We said to the Lord, we repented. We told him the truth about our condition. Lord, I have sinned. I failed you. I have a sinful nature, and many times I have sinful practices. Lord, forgive me. And the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, forgave our sins. As many as receive him, to them he gave right to be called the sons of God. John 1:12. Our sins are all washed away. And he brought us to be part of the family of God. And you know what? To us, he doesn't say, be quiet. Don't say anything. To us, he says, let everybody know that the Messiah have come. That I, the Lord Jesus, came to seek and to save them which was lost. Unfortunately, just like this man was disobedient in speaking when the Lord told him not to speak. Many times we are disobedient when we don't speak. When the Lord told us, go and share the message of the gospel. And so here we go. The more the Lord told him not to, he publicized it, he blazed it abroad, the matter, in as much that look what happened, that Yeshua could no more openly enter into the city. But he was outside in a desert place, and all came to him from every quarter. He could not now walk in the streets, you might say, of Kfar Nahum or in the Galil, in those towns and cities, because wherever he walked, everybody wanted to get something from him. But how precious it was that he came in order to give us life, to preach the gospel. And along the way, he heals those that were diseased. And he removed evil spirits from those who were possessed by evil spirit. This is the servant of the Lord. This is Yeshua the Messiah. This is the beloved one of the Father. And this is the one that we continue to learn from as we study the Gospel of Mark together. May the Lord bless his word. Can we say amen?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.